Do you know what's discouraging about being a pastor? Some of my colleagues would say the meetings. Meeting after meeting after meeting. Okay? But I will tell you something that beats that. It's when I'm listening to someone who was baptized in the water and the word, united with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection, who has been in worship, who has attended Bible study, and they're telling me they don't believe God loves them. That trumps every meeting, even budget time. Okay? I mean, budget time's bad enough. But think about it. When people doubt that God loves them, when people doubt that they're not really God's child, and there are many causes or factors that are influencing that kind of thinking. And we don't have time to address them all. There's books about it. But the scripture addresses the basics of it all. It reminds us of the truth. It teaches us about God's perspective. And what that helps is it helps us take our perspective and just shove it out of the way. Because in the apostles' day, there were all kinds of religions, all kinds of false gods. There was persecution. If you were a Christian, you could end up in trouble just because you were a Christian. There were people who didn't like Christians. There were people that would kill Christians. There were people that would argue passionately, emphatically, intentionally, neck vein poppingly, you know, red in the face about how Jesus isn't real. There were all kinds of people. Does that sound like anything today? It does, doesn't it? So listen again to what God says. For a day like today. It's on the back of your bulletin. I know you just heard it a few minutes ago, but it's real short. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Boy, that says a lot right there. All the attacks, all the persecution, all the anger and the debate and the arguments and the in-your-face kind of stuff, all the denial, it doesn't start with you, although it feels like it. It didn't start with the people in the days of John, although it probably felt like it. It starts with Christ. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if that's your starting point, anything but Jesus, then you can go anywhere but to the truth. You will not be able to embrace the truth. There is no faith that opens up the heart and the mind to receive that truth. There is no faith that trusts what God says is true. There's no faith that surrenders the human thinking and the passions of the heart to this is what God reveals. There is absolutely none of that. And so it isn't, the problems in the world isn't specifically about us, as if they don't like us. It starts with, they don't want Jesus. But let's flip it around. What about you? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Shake your head, right? Okay. Do you know that God the Father sent him because of his love for you? Nod your head, right? All of this is true. Do you ever have bad days? Yeah. Does it feel like you're unloved? Yeah. Okay, stop. What's the truth? Where did we start? Does God love you? Yes. You see, when our sense of reality and the truth of God's word clash by our sense of experience, which one do we choose? Do we choose God or do we choose our reality? I mean, I think of my own raising up, and I've told you stories time and time again. And there were times that I told my parents, you don't love me. You know? And it was absolutely a lie. And it was purely, you know, mean of me to say that. But isn't that what happens when life is rough and it isn't going our way? This is what we think about God. And we think it's God's fault that he didn't fix the plumbing, the car, the income, the teacher at school, the parents that are extra strict, you know. We think it's God's fault that the assistant pastor messed up. Has that ever happened? No. Think about it. We blame God because we know God. But is that the God that knows us? See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Does blaming God, does that sound like the loving Father that has revealed himself? It doesn't. But that's what we do. And it shows God's love even more that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet a mess, God loves us. While we were goofing off, Christ and God was faithful. And while we don't want to pay attention to him, he numbers the hairs on our head. What kind of Father do we have? On this All Saints Day, it is a celebration that not only are we, as God's people, real here, okay, but there are those who have gone before us, whose souls are now in heaven, whose bodies are laid to rest in some way, shape, or form, whose souls wait, just like we, our souls wait for the day when Christ comes. Because we know him. We believe in him. And he has promised to return. And that helps us deal with the ups and downs of our life in this world, because what we tend to do is we tend to focus on the things now, and we value and we put our labels and we put our hope in the things of this world, and the things of this world just don't last. And so what this lesson is about what lasts is God's love. That's what lasts. It's eternal. And what lasts is that he has called us to be his children. And that is a call into his eternal kingdom. His kingdom which he reigns over right now, which includes us, and the kingdom that we will come to know in the fullness when Christ returns and everybody is raised up, the living and the dead. And what lasts is the place he has prepared for us. And what will be ongoing is that our hope until that day shall not fade. That's what this lesson is about. That because Christ is real and the call is real and the love of the Father is real, we, God's people, are real. And here's the rub. We don't want to be real. How does that manifest itself? It's simple. We want to look like the world. We want to talk like the world. We want to dress like the world. We want to, you know, have the fashion, the bling, the tattoos, and everything else in between. We want to fit in with the homies. We want to fit in with the gang. We want to fit in with the group. So we have to have the right labels on our clothing instead of being covered in the righteousness of Christ, knowing that's what gives glory to God, and that is who we are. We start to define ourselves, with weight loss and hair and age and wrinkles or no wrinkles and on it goes. We define ourselves in so many ways that we forget what's the real. It is Christ. And when we lose that, no wonder we have identity issues. And no wonder we have hope that fades. And no wonder our emotions yo-yo. This message is in a time of crisis. And it seems like so many lives are in crisis today. It fits. And in a time of crisis, what do I need to hear? I need to hear God loves me. I need to hear I'm still His child, even though I'm a mess or I'm in a mess. And I need to know that there's this eternal hope that no matter what happens here, God has it all in His hands. It'll be okay. And one day, all believers will be together before the throne of God's grace. And it says, we don't know what that's going to be like, but we know when He appears, that's Jesus, when He appears, we will be like Him. And all my mess and all of your messes are gone. That sounds good, doesn't it? Think about it. All of your messes are gone. All illness is gone. All doubt is gone. Frustration no longer. And in its place is the perfect peace. And in the place of illness is the glorified body in its complete wellness. And in the place of doubt is oneness in Christ. There's a day coming that's real. And it's for us and all of God's people. And the message is to hold on, one, to each other, because you are real here. You're real. We do this together as a family. To hold on to His Word. It's the truth. And to hold on to the hand of the Savior who died for you, who rose for you, that you have life in Him now and life with Him forever. And God's people said, Amen.